It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. It is September. We talked briefly last week about some events that seemed maybe a bit premature, but in fact are right on schedule, and those would be the rapidly changing colors of the trees, including, well, now I have seen paper birch that are starting to turn. I've seen basswoods that are in full color. I've seen maples in full color. I have seen black ash in full color. There are the hazel brush at my house, the American hazel and the beaked hazel are both starting to fleck. That means I'm seeing a few leaves here and there on plants that are starting to put on some color. The interesting thing about the hazel is that now is a really good time of year to actually figure out which hazel you're looking at, because you may have both on your property and not even be aware of it. You need to look at the leaves. As they turn color in the fall, the American hazel turns red and the beaked hazel turns yellow. So look at the hazel brush in your yard and figure out which is the American and which is the beaked. And if you get up, if you see that one has red leaves, then go up close to it and look at this year's new growth. And you'll see that new extension of the stem, not the leaf, but the extension of the stem that is new this year, the new woody material that the bush put out this year, on the American hazel, it's going to be covered with kind of cinnamon red hairs. And those will not be present on the beaked hazel. So check out the hazel. Now is a good time to kind of figure out which one is which. And then next early August, when they're back in fruit again, or when the nuts are on them again, if you get out there bright and early on the right day, you will probably have a chance to harvest some, and you can taste the difference if there is any. Other notes from the past week or so, I guess one that really came not as a great surprise, but always as a welcome, is the diminution of the deer flies. And as a sailor, I encounter deer flies fairly often on my sailboat. And I was out this past week with a friend of mine, and we found one deer fly. It was biting him on the back of his leg, but he wasn't even aware of it until I smashed it there. And so that deer fly went the way of what I hope will be most deer flies, and that is that they are killed before they can get that blood meal from us. Roses are, the rose hips are starting to take on a blush, starting to see some color on the rose hips. This time of year and this past week, I had a garter snake that I saw out on a gravel road. And so now, as you are driving to and from, and you're maybe traveling down one of those gravel roads, be careful, be alert. Those long black things laying on the road may not all be sticks. Some of them may be snakes. So if you get the chance, give them a break or swerve around them. I don't mean swerve in the sense that I want you fishtailing down the road as a result of an effort to avoid them, but, you know, do your best. Leave the snakes be if you can. They come out to warm up a little bit, especially on cool days like this where the sun is shining, but the air temperature is kind of low. They'll come out and try and find a place where they can warm themselves. Box elders have begun to change color, and sugar maples have begun to fleck. My father-in-law lives up on some really nice, sweet soils, and he has just a raft of things that I don't have on my soils. He's got maidenhair fern. He's got leatherwood, not leather leaf. I have leather leaf. He has leather wood. One is an ericaceous shrub of the swamps. That's the one I have, leather leaf. And the other is a nice woody shrub of the uplands and found on really rich soils where you find sugar maples. And that's the leather wood. And that's what my father-in-law has. By now, you may have noticed some woodbine here and there that is turning red. Woodbine gets really quite red in the fall. And interestingly, this is a vine, and the name is woodbine with a B, woodbine, not woodvine. But woodbine climbs up oftentimes telephone poles, or I love it when it gets up in a spruce tree or up in a balsam tree and it turns red, but the tree that it's climbing stays green. And those can be some of the most dramatic and startling colors of the fall. And the woodbine is beginning to do that right now. Red oaks, I'm starting to see a little bit of color on the red oaks, and the red oaks have a really bountiful crop of acorns this year. And I got a note from a friend who was listening, and their observation was that the red oak in their yard had been pretty kind of sketchy last year in terms of its flowers. And this year, much, much more acorns, many more acorns than there were the previous year. And I think part of that is there's this natural cycle that seems to occur in fruiting trees. Oaks and apples are two good examples, where one year they'll put out a kind of a limited crop of fruits, and the next year they'll put out a really bountiful crop of fruits. And they sort of alternate like that. Now, one of the reasons for that might be that if you put out a huge crop year after year after year, those things that prey on your fruits, in this case, in the case of the red oaks, squirrels and deer and bear and all the other turkeys, all those animals that eat acorns, would really proliferate. And if you gave them a steady supply of acorns every year, it would increase their numbers. And at some point, they would overwhelm your ability to produce fruit, and you would never have any regeneration. So by putting out a meager crop one year, you don't feed all of those species that count on you for food. And the next year you put out a bountiful crop, and there are more there than those animals that do eat your fruits can handle or can eat. And so some of them then are left for regeneration. Now, that's just one possibility of why the oaks and the apples might behave that way, but it has some basis in fact, I believe. I've been watching a horse chestnut in Grand Rapids, and there are two kinds of horse chestnuts. There's actually an Ohio buckeye as well, but most of the trees up here are horse chestnut, and they have these... They have a very palmate leaf, so the leaf is five leaves coming out of a central location, and that palmate leaf turns yellow in most cases, but there are several in town here that turn red, and I have been watching one in particular for many, many years, and it is it's beginning to fleck. I can see a little bit of the red color on it. It's about 4 days later than average, but it's doing okay. And the basswoods I mentioned earlier, they're about 6 days early. I saw some rattlesnake root the other day. This is also known as white lettuce. It's a beautiful plant, probably 3 feet tall. It has downward bell-shaped flowers, and the deep, what would be the top of the bell, is quite purple in color. And then it kind of, as it opens up, the flower becomes quite white. And they are a late season flowering plant. I often don't see them until this time of year. And this one that I saw on the 1st of September was about a week late. So that could be that I just didn't encounter it. You know, when a lot of this data was collected, I was driving a mail route and I knew where the rattlesnake root was, and I would watch it daily. And since I drove by it every day, I was much more accurate about its bloom dates. So that 7 days could be just inattention on my part. The common sunflowers are still blooming. You can see them pretty much all over the area. They're doing quite well. The tall sunflowers, these giganteus, they're called, these sunflowers just began to bloom at my house. Now, these flowers are, 7, 8, maybe 9 feet tall. Much different from the local common sunflower. Tall sunflower has just begun to bloom. Poison ivy, if you're looking for poison ivy, and I don't know why you would, but if you are, it's just now beginning to fleck. So it starts off kind of yellow, and as it goes along, it will become more and more coral-colored, kind of reddish-orange, and it will continue along those lines until finally the leaves just give it up and drop off. Hedge bindweed, those flowers that I think everybody that sees them says, oh, look at the morning glory. We have very few morning glory up here in northern Minnesota, but the hedge bindweed has a very similar flower, a big white trumpet-shaped flower. And I saw a couple of those still in bloom. I would expect that that'll be kind of the end of those. Mountain ash berries look to be getting ripe. Lots of birds moving through the area right now. Red-tailed hawks, merlins. I saw a hawk yesterday that I couldn't identify. It was sitting up on top of a tamarack. It might have been a northern harrier, a male northern harrier, but I've never seen one perched like that. And with a solid kind of light gray head, I wasn't able to find anything that looked like it in my bird book outside of the northern harrier. So I don't know exactly which one that was. But hawks and warblers are kind of flowing through the area. Lots of pictures on KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page of warblers that are moving through the area. So be alert for them. Orioles are kind of on their way out. I saw rose-breasted grosbeaks at my bird feeder yesterday. So there's still a few of those around, but they are definitely heading out of the area. Up on the spruce bog where I work at the spruce site, inside some of the enclosures, blueberries are still blooming or have begun to bloom again. And outside of the enclosures, out in just in the general bog area, I actually saw a bog laurel in bloom. That bright pink flower really caught my eye. And speaking of oddities, Courtney Kearns, who is teaches at the local junior college, and I guess they call it a community college, and has also done work for the DNR, showed me a Viola sagittata, arrowhead violet in bloom, and that's kind of late in the year for that one. On the animal side of things, I saw a coyote this past week crossing the highway out south of Grand Rapids on the River Road. And I also saw my first fawn without spots this week. So the fawns are definitely growing older, and it won't be very long. And I wouldn't be at all surprised but what the deer are going to be changing from that reddish coat of summer to their more familiar gray-brown coat of fall and winter. Goldfinches are still hanging out at my feeder, or have begun to hang out at my feeder. I'm seeing them. Pine siskins are in the area, and I've seen a few of those too. And that seems a little unusual. That's more a bird we associate with in the winter. But there have been quite a few around all summer here. Boneset is still blooming. Common flat-topped goldenrod is blooming. Gray goldenrod, I can see it right out of the studio windows here. That is still in bloom as well. Still some flat-topped asters, some northern heart-leaved. Heidi is busy here at the computer and writing up a storm. I stopped over to visit she and Tom the other day, and as I was leaving, I noticed that they had a great stand of northern heart-leaved asters right below their walkout on the bottom of their house, and I was quite impressed. It's very, very nice. So the northern heart-leaved asters are still blooming, lots of stuff going on. Winterberry, the northern holly, just taking a blush. You can look at those berries. They're largely green, but if you look carefully, you can start to see the orange that is going to be the color of that berry as it fully develops. And there's a very unusual plant called black chokeberry, and it grows wild mostly south of here, but I happen to have one growing on my property. And yesterday I was looking at it. The fruit is ripe, but you know, not very tasty. Chokeberry probably got that name not because they're really delicious, but because they're kind of like their close cousin. Well, actually, I don't think there is any close cousinness of it. The choke cherry we all are familiar with and has that astringent taste. This had a little bit of astringency to it as well. But this was a different kind of a fruit, because if you look at this fruit, you will see the presence of the flower head below the fruit itself. So the fruit is inferior to the flower, much the way an apple is inferior to the flower of the apple. And if you look at the base of an apple, you'll see the remnants of the flower that created it. And the same is true of chokeberry. And they, as I said, the choke cherry is Prunus, genus Prunus, and the chokeberry, chokecherry Prunus, chokeberry Aronia, not at all the same. So that, and I guess the final thing that I have on my list was a note that I took off of the Season Watch page, which was the lovely bottle gentian flowers being forced open by bumblebees so that they could get inside and get some of the nectar and pollen that exists in those flowers. And in the process, pollinate the flowers for the next year. Those flowers look almost as though they would be clostogamous, which means closed marriage. That is a flower that doesn't open up, it pollinates itself. But in the case of the gentians, those closed gentians, that's not what's happening. The bumblebees are simply pushing the petals aside and going in for the rewards. So that's our Phenology Show for this week. As always, we encourage you to share what's going on in your neighborhood. Either send me an email or post it on our Season Watch page. We are happy to hear from you, no doubt.